And he did. When he got even with that secondary, he was running ahead of them. It was after they recognized, boy, we got to close down and make the play. Now, this was similar to a run that he had at Air Force a couple years ago. And this time you saw when pressure came to him, he put both hands over the football and was going to protect that ball as he went down.
All right, Cougars looking for the dagger. 5:30 to go in this one. 40-yard run for DeLuigi, 41 yards. And BYU now at 277 rush yards on this day. And Oregon State wasn't terrible against the run coming in two today. One of their stronger defensive aspects. Nelson's under center, I-backs. Hand off, Mike Alisa. Alisa runs middle, tripped up with Austin Holt, still drives forward for 3 yards to the 11-yard line. Yeah. It'll be 2nd and 7 from the 11, and Oregon State fans begin to head for the exits. BYU's going to get a Pac-10 win on the road, a Pac-12 win on the road, it would appear.
Yeah, you got to... You know, you don't expect to run into your blocker being pushed back into the backfield. And so they have to be able to hold their ground better at the line of scrimmage.
Kaneakua Friel is in at tight end. Richard Wilson left the game earlier with a knee injury. Done for the
long
day.
Long time in the huddle. What's going on here?
Play clock down
running
to 12.
Maybe he's trying to run some clock, but you're going to be close.
Friel tight end right. Holt tight end left. Wide left, McKay Jacobson. Nelson hands off to Alisa. Alisa is caught at the line, keeps the legs driving. They're ripping at the ball. He gets inside the 10 to the 9, and then all the way ahead to the 8 on 2nd and 7, a gain of about 3, possibly 4. 4:22 to go, and the clock is rolling. BYU 31, Oregon State 21, 4:15 to play here in Corvallis.
So you got 3rd and 4. You just have to be careful with the football right now. You'd like to get the first or the score. This is probably where they're going to run Riley Nelson again, even though the defense probably is aware of it.
BYU 10 of 13 on third downs. Today's game brought to you by, in part, by your fellow Cougar supporters at Siegfried and Jensen. Third down and 4 for BYU.
They have to hurry a little.
Play clock down to 5. Nelson under center. Alisa the lone tailback. 3, 2, and 1. Snap to Riley. Play action. He boots it. Running it left. Man open in the end zone. And caught for a touchdown by Kaneakua Friel. And that's your ball game. First touchdown for Friel, and a 3rd consecutive game with a tight end touchdown reception for the Cougars. Now, and that is going to do it.
That is one of those tweaks that I was talking about at the start of the game, that you can run this bootleg now, and this is a new play that we haven't seen. The backside tight end comes all the way across the field underneath coverage. He's lost in the traffic as he comes through there wide open. The onside receivers are pretty well covered. And Riley Nelson throws a nice soft pass that he knows Friel's going to make the reception.
And great play. Gives Riley two options, one to run or one to throw to the guy in the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
Right. Sorensen's PAT is up and through, and 38-21. BYU running away from Oregon State with 3:37 to go. We'll take our final timeout here on KSL News Radio and the BYU Radio Sports Network.
Hey, this is Nia the Computer Girl from PEC Laptops. Are you experiencing anxiety, vomiting, stabbing, cerebral pains, or insomnia? You could be suffering from CCS, crappy computer syndrome. At PEC Laptops, we can fix or upgrade any brand of computer. In fact, we're so awesome at it that if we can't fix or upgrade your computer, we'll buy it from you. Here's the great news. Bring in your desktop or laptop computer, no matter what brand it is, into any one of our locations. Or run a free scan and diagnostic on your computer for free. Remember, it's free, free, free! And if you're looking for a new computer, we're doing zero down, zero interest for a whole year. OAC. So get into any one of our locations right now. Or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE. Check out our fresh new website at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Because at PC Laptops, we really love you.
School time. Back to routine. Throw the kids in the back and get them back and forth on time. Up in front, keep your car radio tuned to KSL.
Breaking news on KSL.
Utah's Morning News with Grant and Amanda from 5 till 9.
The Doug Rice Show at 9 and The Browser at 1.
And Utah's Afternoon News from 3 till 7.
Your car's continuing education.
KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
BYU football. BYU football on your radio home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio and the BYU Radio Sports Network.
Riley Nelson today, 3 touchdown passes for the season, 2-1 ratio, 8 TDs and 4 INTs, 11 career touchdown passes for Riley Nelson. In this game, 3 Cougars, Mark, get their first BYU touchdowns. Mike Alisa, J.D. Falslev, and Kane Akua-Friel just moments ago for Friel. BYU finishing off a 69-yard drive in 6 plays, 3:32 off the clock on the Friel touchdown pass, 8 yards. Kickoff Sorensen up to the 8-yard line, Poyer. Poyer outside the near hash, tripped up at the 25, down at the 27.
Yeah, look who made that.
Graham Rowley. No, was it Friel?
Yeah, it's Friel.
Friel makes the touchdown
catch. Yeah, makes the touchdown and then says, okay, I'll stop him.
Touchdown catch and then tackle on special teams, and BYU leads Oregon State 38-21, 3:32 to go. It's a nearly empty now Reser Stadium. As the fans have filed out, the Beavers are going to fall to 1-5. BYU is going to improve to 5-2 and 4 consecutive wins for BYU.
Empty except for that section down there in the end zone where it's filled with blue clad BYU fans.
The blue folks are sticking around. 3:32 to go, and Oregon State trailing by 17 now. Takes the field on offense with Sean Mannion. And he'll be setting to throw and throw often. Loads up, guns it down the middle, and complete to James Rogers. Incomplete. Ball came loose. Had it in his chest and couldn't somehow collect it and falls at the 42-yard line. Corby Eason actually contributed to the pass breakup. I think he took that ball away from James Rogers. Once Rogers had the catch, or Eason made sure he knocked the ball out. Another pass breakup for Corby.
It's in that same area that he had time again, but BYU is doing a much better job. In fact, Corby Eason's playing man-to-man coverage to cover this receiver all the way in the middle of the field.
It's a 500-yard game for BYU right now. 76 plays, 500 yards on offense. Best game of the season in a lot of ways on offense. Ball thrown near flat, complete to the 30-yard line. Gain of only 3 or 4 to Jordan Jenkins, who's tackled inbounds. So the clock is rolling at 3:12 and counting. And Oregon State going no huddle, down 17. BYU 38, OSU 21. 3:05 to play. Left to right go the Beavers as we see it and you hear it. Mannion in the near flat to Halahuni. He's short of the first down. Gain of 5 on third down and 7. Yeah. Gain of 5. It'll be 4th down and 2 coming up for OSU.
Halahuni made the reception but didn't have much move afterwards. He didn't make an effort to get up to get that first down.
So on 4th and 2, Mannion in the gun. Wings it near to Rogers. Complete for the first down on 4th down out to the 45-yard line of BYU.
Kyle Van Noy knows he went the wrong way as the quarterback looks to the sideline. Van Noy starts a little bit to the sideline, and Rogers comes right behind him, and he's out there going, oh, I needed to run down the middle of the field.
Mannion in the gun on 1st and 10 from the OSU 45-yard line. Hit by Van Noy as he throws deep down the far side. A bump by Eason, but no flag flies as the ball is incomplete well beyond Marcus Wheaton, the intended receiver.
Yeah, well played by Corby Eason as he gets in the front section. You know, his back number is to the receiver's front number, and that really makes it difficult to make that catch.
Alani Fua in the game, an outside linebacker for BYU. Bronco goes to his bench late in this one. 2:24, clock stop. BYU 38, Oregon State 21. Mannion in the gun with Jenkins, and they're throw right now. Takes his drop, releases. Finds an open spot for his man, Brandon Cooks, for a first down, who gave up the first down and ran back inside the marker. So he had about 12 and then ended up with a 9-yard gain, and the clock stays running because he came back inside the marker.
Hey, Greg, I just want to mention that Uona Kavenga went out. They retaped his ankle, and he was running to go back in, but since the Cougars did score, he hasn't entered just to be safe.
Well, that's good news. Thank you, Scott. And that's an incomplete pass on 3rd down and 1 by Mannion. That was Scott Johnson in the Zions Bank end zone. Zions Bank, they haven't forgotten, who keeps them in business. Intended for Wheaton, short of him. So incomplete and a 4th and 1 for Oregon State. A last gasp of sorts, down 38-21 in this game, and the clock is rolling, or beg your pardon, stopped at 1:56. BYU's best offensive day of the year by yards and points, and they get a win in the Pac-12 and 4 straight wins on the year. And fixing to be 6-2 when they play TCU in a couple of weeks. Underneath the completion to Jenkins to the 40-yard line. Jordan Jenkins the catch on a 4th and 1. So a couple of 4th downs converted in this drive as Oregon State, in kind of a consolation mode, moves into BYU territory. 39-yard line of BYU with 1:45 to go in the clock rolling here in Corvallis. Idaho State at BYU next Saturday. Ball near side. thrown wide flat to Holohuny. Holohuny trying to get out of bounds, kept inbounds as he's hung up and then brought down by a host of Cougars at the 40-yard line. So results in a loss of one. The clock at 1:25 and counting. BYU leading it by 17. The reception to Holohuny.
Oregon State takes a timeout. Stop the clock.
So BYU will go Halloween colors in back-to-back weeks as the Bengals of ISU visit Provo next week.
No, I can't. I hate this color.
Tis the season. It's Halloween. They're going to play the orange and black in back-to-back weeks.
Like I said, we could never beat Lakewood. and they were orange and black. And since that time, I've hated that combination.
Well, this game's going to do wonders for a lot of statistical categories for BYU. That rushing defense will improve. That rushing offense will improve, beg your pardon. Scoring offense certainly will see an uptick.
Well, you know, at half, since you said that rushing defense, OSU only had 33 yards rushing in the end of the first half. Did they do much more the second half?
Look at that. They're at 57 for the game. Yeah, so let's give the rushing defense a pat on the back as well. Look at BYU on offense today. 11 of 14 on third downs. Have the ball for 33 minutes plus right now on a 500-yard day on 76 plays. Mannion in the gun. He'll take a five-step. Look to his left. Fire for the flag. And it is... Is it caught inside the 20? It is.
Nice catch.
Up to make the catch is Brandon Cooks to the wide side for Mannion. He lofts it a good 20 yards plus downfield and caught by Cooks with 1:20 to go.
Well covered.
38-21, BYU leading it.
He was well covered out there.
So first and 10 at the BYU 18-yard line in an empty backfield. Mannion settles. Fires, knocked away by Preston Hadley. Hadley reached in front of Marcus Wheaton, knocked it away. So Hadley with a pass breakup. Second and 10.
Perfectly played as he comes across, and he's in good position, but he accelerates to get in front of that receiver, bats the ball down, and so many times you see that defender drag that other, the backhand, or along the back of the receiver. Hadley did not.
Mannion, a 300-yard game and a losing effort. 300 yards, 302 to be precise, one touchdown and two picks. 26 of 40 on the day. Mannion shotgun. Powell was passing on this last drive with 1:08 to go. He goes for the end zone. Man is open through his hands. Out of bounds at the sideline in the end zone. Joe Holohuny was the intended receiver. Too high and too hard for Holohuny.
Now, see, here's my perplexion. Does the quarterback get tired, you know, as you go into the fourth quarter? He was so good and he's been just terrific anyway, but he has an open receiver for a touchdown right there. Maybe the discouragement of the game that you think you're going to lose has something to do with taking off some competitive edge.
Mannion in the gun on third and 10 with 1:03 to play from the BYU 18-yard line. Settles in the pocket, fires low and underneath, passes complete, but Spencer Hadley wraps up the receiver after a gain of only 5. Jordan Jenkins on the catch. It'll be fourth down and 5 for Oregon State.
They're in field goal range.
Mike Muehlman checks in the game for BYU. 45 seconds to go in the game. Another fourth down here. They're 2 for 2 on fourth downs on this drive. Fourth and 6 officially for the Beavers from the BYU 14-yard line. Mannion in shotgun. All kinds of time. Goes for the end zone. And Daniel Sorensen's called for pass interference as he held Jordan Bishop.
Oh, man. Yeah, and see, Sorensen is in, he's the same way. He's in great position. He's got his front arm out in front, but he's trailing and bumping that receiver with his backside. And so there's two flags down. Let's see what the other one is.
Bit of a discussion between the officials.
Yeah, they're going to spot it on the 3, though. Or is it the 2?
It should be the 2 if it's pass interference inside the 17.
Pass interference, defense, number 9. That foul occurred in the end zone. The ball will be placed at the 2-yard line. Automatic first down.
There's Sorensen in great position, and the ball was not going to be caught. He just needed to get that hand out in front and not drive the backside into that receiver.
Oh, defense won't be pleased with this last drive if it ends up in points for the Beavers. It'll be consolation points and nothing more than cosmetics. In a 38-21 game, BYU leads Oregon State.
Oh,
32
yeah.
seconds to play.
I'm thinking that somebody picked this game a little bit closer to the actual score that it's going to be.
Sean Mannion's under center with a staggered eye. Mannion takes the snap. Little play action. Settling. Firing end zone. And is tipped away by Preston Hadley. Back of the end zone, Wheaton waiting for it. And Hadley gets a hand up and knocks it away. So second and goal from the 2 coming up.
Oh, man. He almost had that pick, too. You know, Hadley's done a nice job of getting his hand out and making sure of the defensive play and not yet in position to make that interception.
Mannion under center, staggered eye York and Stevenson. Second and goal from the two, 26 seconds to go. BYU leads by 17. Stretch handoff to Stevenson. Stevenson navigates his way into the end zone, running left for the score. Touchdown, Beavers.
Well, I wonder if Oregon State is going to be, you know, thinking that they made the wrong decision to go ahead and run a balanced offensive attack today, because they were very solid in their play. But in this last drive and going all pass, they end up getting this score. Well, of course, it's against a different group of players out there with a different amount of enthusiasm.
PAT from Trevor Romaine is up and good. 23 seconds on the clock, and the Beavers are going to go onside with 23 seconds to go, trailing by 10, 38-28, BYU on top. Some numbers of note individually. BYU's Riley Nelson, 17 of 27, 217, three touchdowns and a pick. He also led BYU in rushing, 12 carries, 87 yards.
Oh, 11 so rushing?
Better than 7-yard average for Nelson. Alisa, 20 carries, 84 yards and a touchdown.
Oh.
How about Cody Hoffman?
Yeah.
Nine catches, 162 yards in this game. I believe that to be a career high for Cody Hoffman. Depends on what he did in the New Mexico Bowl last year. He had a big day that day as well, but not at nine for 162 and a score for Cody Hoffman. Hoffman had 137 in the bowl game, so a new career high for Cody Hoffman. I may not let our listeners do it today, Mark, but maybe I'll let you do it. Pick the Macy's MVP, brought to you by Macy's, your family's favorite grocery store. Riley Nelson, Mike Alisa, Cody Hoffman. I don't have a defensive nominee for you right now, but there may be one, like Brandon Ogletree. Matt Putnam is making plays, but think about that, and we'll decide after the game here. Onside go the Beavers. The ball's high in the air, didn't get the 10 yards, and it'll be BYU football. It was recovered at the 38-yard line by Oregon State, never went the full 10, and BYU will take over.
BYU has an injured player. The Oregon State sends the first guy down, and he's going to block the man that's most dangerous to making the reception, and that's Jordan Pendleton.
Oh, my goodness. On an onside kick at the end of the game, Jordan Pendleton crawls off the field and collapses in a heap on the sideline.
Now, he was going up to, you know, help on receiving the football, so he was defenseless when that guy ran into him. Maybe it's the wind, huh?
Hopefully it's only the wind knocked out of him. For a guy that's just battling injury after injury on the last meaningful play of a game, an onside kick, Pendleton hurt and literally crawls off the field. And BYU in victory formation will take a knee and take a win back to Provo. Riley Nelson takes a snap. There's a knee, and that is going to do it. BYU is going to win it by a score of 38-28. Cougars beat the Beavers, and you heard it right here on KSL News Radio and the BYU Radio Sports Network.
We all plan our daily schedules, our grocery lists, our vacations. Some of us just plan bigger than others.
Make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood.
These are the words of Daniel Burnham, legendary urban planner, and he practiced what he preached by crafting the first comprehensive plan for the controlled growth of an American city, the Plan of Chicago. His vision at the turn of the last century defined the city's lakefront parks, its beaches and harbors, and the magnificent mile that people enjoy today.
Make big plans. Aim high and hope and work.
Today, community planning is a trusted discipline, one that changes how people live in big ways and small. And planners have proven approaches that make neighborhoods great and keep them great for the future. You can learn more at planning.org. That's planning.org. Great communities are no accident. They're planned to be great. A message from this station and the American Planning Association.
Utah's morning news tomorrow from 5 till 9 on KSL News Radio.
All right, network affiliates down the line, take note. We're going to take a two-minute break right here. So a post-game two-minute break we're inserting right here. Network affiliates note, this will be a two-minute break on KSL News Radio and the BYU Radio Sports Network.
It's the third annual Time Out for Women in Salt Lake City. Join KSL News Radio November 18th and 19th for the Choose to Become Tour with inspirational speakers including Emily Watts, Brad Wilcox, and Laurel Christensen. Tickets are going fast, so gather your group of friends and pre-register by October 19th. Find out more about the Choose to Become Tour by entering keyword become at KSL.com. It's Time Out for Women, brought to you in part by KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Visit KSL.com today for your chance to win great prizes just by logging on. Right now, you could enter to win a pair of tickets to Ballet West's production of Dracula, October 21st through November 1st at the Capitol Theater. Or nominate someone you know who is doing the right thing to win great prizes from Les Schwab and KSL News Radio. Plus, don't miss the Monster Block Party on Saturday, October 29th from 10 to 2 at the Gallivan Center. Find out more at KSL.com.
When our eyes met from across the room, I knew we were meant to be together. Hi, I'm Rochelle Lefebvre, and that's why I adopted my adorable dog, Honey. Now I'm working with Best Friends Animal Society to create a day when there are no more homeless pets. Each year, millions of dogs suffer horrendous conditions in puppy mills. Their sole purpose is to make money for the people who supply puppies to pet stores across the country. Meanwhile, about 4,000 dogs are killed every day in America's shelters. You can help stop this by not adding to the demand for pet store puppies. Together, we can ensure that all of America's dogs have a family of their own. When searching for your next best friend, go to your local shelter and rescue a great dog like Honey. Do what I did. Adopt. Don't shop. Let a shelter dog steal your heart. Visit Best Friends Animal Society at puppiesaren'tproducts.com or bestfriends.org.
And brought to you by Taco Bell and State Farm Insurance. It's the post-game recap on your radio home of the BYU Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Research Stadium in Corvallis, Oregon. BYU 38 and Oregon State 28. Today's final score, BYU sets a season high in scoring points with 38. First time over 30 this season. And a fourth win in a row for BYU, which goes to 5-2, or OSU drops to 1-5 on the season. Time now for the Macy's MVP, brought to you by Macy's, your family's favorite grocery store. We let Mark make the call today. And Mark, you decided to give it to?
Co-MVPs. Riley Nelson, Cody Hoffman. Can you let me do that? Because Cody Hoffman.
I'll let you do that.
Cody Hoffman made some spectacular catches today and big-time receptions. But on the other hand, Riley Nelson really kept the ball alive with his running. And third down conversions was off the charts. Wasn't it 70-something percent again?
11 of 14 was BYU today on third downs. And 11 of 14 will turn out to a tidy 79%.
79%. It's just crazy. And so much of that was because early in the first half, they were 5 for 5 and short yardages on third down that they could pick up. And then the second half, they had longer ones, but they were getting them. So, yeah, the management by Riley Nelson and the receptions of a covered, many times a very well covered, Cody Hoffman.
All right, to Macy's, your family's favorite grocery store, the Macy's MVP is Riley Nelson. People might tire of this particular stat because it does include some turnovers as well, but Riley's had 24 drives as the full-time quarterback, has taken over for Jake Heaps, one punt in 24 drives. Now, there are a few turnovers in there, but a lot of scores in there, too. And they're not going three and out. They're making yards. They're moving chains. They're moving the football better now than they were earlier in the season. And then the chorus of fans will say, but it's the schedule. It's getting easier. You're playing poorer teams. And it is a factor, but not the factor right now. And I just think that we need to note that what they're not having are the problems they were having earlier in the season, which is lack of rhythm. And the turnovers remain a problem. They're giving it up too many times. They're one of the worst teams in the country in turnover margin. But they are able to do more things different ways under the new setup.
And they ran the football so much more effectively today. And I do feel like, we were talking earlier in the game, I just didn't see the terrible numbers from Oregon State in their defense. I just felt like they did a nice job. Mm-hmm. And so many of those, there weren't guys wide open all day. Other than maybe a couple of those bootleg passes. A
couple of notes. Let's talk about Cody Hoffman, your co-MVP. 9 catches for a career-high 162 and a touchdown. The 9 grabs may also be a career high for Cody. I'm not sure he got the double digits earlier in the this year or not. I'll double-check on that. But Cody, 9 for 162 and a score. Nelson, 12 for 87 rushing, so led BYU on the ground. And throwing it, 17 for 27, 217, three touchdowns and a pick. What's 17 for 27, Mark? You said 65% passing, was it?
Oh, man, I had it just in my head, but now...
63%.
63%.
Completion for Riley Nelson today. BYU rushes for 282 yards on the day.
Yeah, that's
the most,
crazy.
The most since going for 284 at Colorado State last year. But again, only the third time in the Bronco era that BYU's had three straight games of 200-plus yards on the ground or more, and they've done it this year, going Utah State, San Jose State, and now Oregon State.
And it wasn't just Michael Issa today. I thought J.J. came in the second half and did a nice job on that little sweep that they put together where they pull a lineman out in front, and he picked up some positive yardage in that situation.
His longest gain of the year, 41 yards. He ends up with 74, so 8 for 74 for J.J. and a touchdown. Alisa touchdown, his first as a Cougar. False left touchdown catch, his first as a Cougar. Kaneakul Friel touchdown catch, his first as a BYU Cougar today, among the other numbers of note. And it is interesting that with the final play of the game, a kneel down, they went from 500 yards in offense to 499.
Paul James would be crazy right now with that.
That one's for you, Paul. They end up with 499 yards in total offense because their last snap was a loss of one on a quarterback kneel. So BYU goes 77 plays for 499 and winning this one by a score of 38-28. Again, the 282 on the ground. Tremendous number. BYU ran, sorry, Mark, 77 plays to OSU's 66. BYU 10 penalties for 79 yards, and some were crucial at the time, including a touchdown having to be called back. And then possession time, 33-36 for the Cougars, 26-24 for the Beavers. Third downs, tremendous. 11 of 14, BYU 5 for 12, Oregon State.
That was the difference, I think, today, is that Oregon State usually gives up only 130 yards a game. And to give up that 280 number was the thing that really took that away from them, because BYU is so good in running the football so many times.
Took a tweet real quick. Somebody wondered why Pendleton was even in the game on the onside kick at the end in which he got banged up. By the way, Scott Johnson did tell us off the air that he walked off the field okay. Maybe it was just a wind being knocked out. And he was in the play, not just standing on the sideline, right?
Yeah, he's in the play, and he's on the onside return team, you know, and you only have one. You don't have backup guys to deal with handling. You don't coach that. Well, you have a backup, but you don't coach that many guys to be able to be ready to receive an onside kick.
But again, the good news would appear that Jordan got off okay. You just hate to see that guy, of all people, crawling off the field late in the game.
And I didn't like that their player that hit him was celebrating the fact that he hurt him. I didn't like that. There was a lot of things that I didn't like today about Oregon State as far as being competitive. There were two drives in a row where they gave up 15-yard penalties because of personal fouls, and they didn't care. You know, it was just a lack of discipline, and it ended up giving BYU some extra yardage that they certainly couldn't afford to do.
38-28, final score. BYU wins it. Mark, let's recap the scoring. I guess it got us to, we were tied at the half, weren't we, 14?
We were tied at half at 14, and I was just going to say, Alisa scored a touchdown, and J.J. DeLuigi scored a touchdown, and so that made it 14-14 with both PATs by Justin Sorensen. To start the second half, though, BYU was able to put together the first drive of the second half for a touchdown, which hasn't happened yet this year, and it was this play that got him in the end zone.
Third and three at the Oregon State 12. Ball set, far hash. Riley will throw. They get in on Riley. He goes for the end zone. Hoffman catches it! Right side of the end zone! Touchdown! Tony Hoffman!
12-yard TD pass from Nelson. PAT good by Sorensen. 21-14 in favor of BYU. BYU recovered an OSU fumble at the 30 at their own 30 at OSU's 36-yard line, and Justin Sorensen kicked a 33-yard field goal to make it 24-14. And you were looking for that two-score lead. Sean Mannion hit Brandon Cooks, with a 59-yard TD pass. It was a beauty. Trevor Romain was good with the PAT, 24-21. And so BYU needs to get back out in front with the lead. They go into the fourth quarter leading 24-21. But they do get a touchdown to end a 66-yard drive on this play.
Now they're in a under center with a staggered back diagonally away from Riley Nelson. Not a typical run backfield. Nelson sprints out to the left, throws to J.D. False slam, touchdown! First touchdown of his career, J.D. with the TD, and the Cougars take a 9-point lead, PAT pending.
And it was a tough catch for J.D., even though he was all alone. Justin Sorensen good with the PAT, giving that 10-point lead again, 31-21. And then, Kaneakul Friel came up with the big play to end up putting the game away, and it was on this 8-yard pass that made that big difference.
Play clock down to 5. Nelson under center. Alisa the lone tailback. 3, 2, and 1. Snap to Riley. Play action. He boots it. Running it left. Man open in the end zone and caught for a touchdown by Kaneakua Friel. And that's your ball game.
PAT good with Justin Sorensen. It's 38-21, and then OSU does put together a drive, and Javon Stevenson runs in from 2 yards out. PAT good by Romain. 38-28 ends up being the final.
And BYU wins it by 10 to go to now 51-3 when leading after three quarters, 34-3 when positive in the turnover margin. 38-5 in their last 43 when they run for 100, let alone the 200-yard rushing total BYU had today. BYU ends up with 282 yards, and now under Bronco, BYU has a tremendous record of 23-2 when they run for 200 or more. BYU scored in all four quarters for a second consecutive game. I will say this, since Riley Nelson took over at quarterback, BYU has scored in every quarter since. 9 consecutive quarters scoring. And they went 7, 7, 10, and 14 here today in Corvallis.
This was a one-point spread game going into this game, and at halftime, it was that kind of a game. You know, it was tight. And BYU did make the plays in the second half to take charge of the football game. OSU got a little frustrated and upset, and in doing so, BYU ended up winning the second half by a sizable margin.
All right, locker room coverage is coming up. We've got to get back to Salt Lake City for CPL. Cougar Postgame Live, Andrew Alex standing by. Then back soon to Corvallis, postgame interviews and more coming up from Research Stadium. So a bit of a longer postgame recap, folks, but we'll get right back to Andrew right about now. Coming up next, CPL. Cougar Postgame Live, it is BYU 38, Oregon State 28, the final on KSL News Radio and the BYU Radio Sports Network.
Having a conversation with your child is like putting money in the bank. For example, every time you ask your child,
"So, how was your day?"
you've just added to your conversation trust account. And when you say to your child,
"Good job, son,"
you get double deposits. And the more you ask, the more you put away. And it's good advice to... excuse me. And it's good advice to have...
Stop that!
And it's good advice to have little chats with your child as often as you can.
Thank you.
Because someday, when they're teenagers, it may pay off big dividends.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
Thanks, Dad. I think you're right.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Visit us at Mormon.org.
Cougar Postgame Live. On your radio home of the BYU Cougars, KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome into Cougar Postgame Live. I'm Andrew Adams. Coming up, looking back at Utah-Pittsburgh and what we learned. Utah State getting ready for a statement game against Fresno State. Tom Holmoe breaking BYU's silence on college football realignment. We'll bring you some of his remarks you heard at the half on KSL News Radio. But first, Utes at Pitt. Utah has looked bad ever since the 54-10 win at BYU. Got killed by Washington and Arizona State today. Medicine in the form of the Pitt Panthers. Pitt a good runner in Ray Graham, but quarterback problems aplenty as became evident throughout the game. Panthers only mustered 120 total yards, just 50 yards passing and 2 interceptions between 2 quarterbacks. Utes came back from a 14-3 deficit to win 26-14. Derek Shelby added a pick 6 for emphasis late. Alex Carey, the Utes needed this win.
I've been hassled already today for not giving enough love to the Utes, but it wasn't a super exciting game, and if you watched it, it was very, very sloppy. 7 sacks given up by the Utah offensive line. And, you know, it was a great running day for John White, 177 yards. And it's one of those days that you just have to say a win is a win. And that's a good deal for them because they had 2 losses in a row.
Other locals, Utah State looking like it should be able to contend in the WAC, especially after Hawaii fell to San Jose State last night. Taking on Fresno State tonight, Alex, Bulldogs just 2-4. Aggies should win this one if they're legit.
Yeah, and I hope they do because, again, that offense is so potent in that running game. They have so many running backs. And, you know, when you have their quarterback who just threw all over, what's this guy's name? What's the Utah State's quarterback's name?
Chucky Keaton.
Yeah. 5 touchdowns last week. Yeah, no how about interceptions. That? This guy's got an arm to go along with the kajillion yards you can gain on the ground for the Utah State Aggies.
All right, well, that game kicks at 8 o'clock tonight in Fresno. Local FCS, Weber State hosting Idaho State. Wildcats leading 15-6 at the half. Bengals in Provo next Saturday. Southern Utah's at Cal Poly tonight. Game kicks at 7. Top 25 games that matter. A couple big upsets today. Virginia knocks off number 12 Georgia Tech 24-21 in Charlottesville. The much maligned Ohio State Buckeyes win at number 16 Illinois 17-7. In progress right now, 4-1 unranked Wake Forest hosting number 19 Virginia Tech and leading 10-0 with 9:30 in the second quarter. And number 17 Kansas State at Texas Tech, it's the Wildcats leading that one 7-0 early in the first quarter. Number 6 Oklahoma State at number 22 Texas. Interesting, 21-10 Cowboys at the half. OSU starts the second half with a 100-yard kick return by Justin Gilbert. Then Texas right back at you, a 100-yard return for a touchdown by Fozzie Whitaker. Other than that, a non-such game. Oklahoma State wins 38-26. Also earlier today, number 23 Michigan State defeats number 11 Michigan in East Lansing 28-14. Number 21 Texas A&M rolls Baylor 55-28. Alex, any observations from any of those games in the top 25 today?
Yeah, you know, I think Texas A&M sent that message after they got beat by Oklahoma State this year already, and I think that they had lost already. The thing is that they're 4-2 now, and I think they're even better than that record says, because they are a really good offensive team, and put up 45 points last week, put up 55 this week. They're a good offensive ball club.
All right, next on Cougar Postgame Live, Tom Holmoe's remarks on BYU, the Big 12, and college football realignment on KSL News Radio and the BYU Radio Sports Network.
Regrets? Oh, we're all going to have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're going to wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your 3-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
Now back to Cougar Postgame Live on your radio home of the BYU Cougars. KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Andrew Adams back with you on CPL. BYU chooses today to break its silence on college football realignment. Not a bad day to do it. Just kind of a nice side story to BYU's 38-28 win over Oregon State. Tom Holmoe spoke to reporters before the game, then joined Greg Rubel and Mark Lyons at the half. This is what Holmoe had to say, edited for length. It was about a 5-minute conversation here, the most pertinent 3 minutes.
Have there been conversations between BYU and the Big 12?
Oh, yes, there have. We've had conversations with them on various levels, and I appreciate the Big 12, how well they've handled it, and they've done likewise. They've not dropped out these little leaks into the media, and nor have we.
Conversation, but no invitation.
That's correct. There have been discussions, but TCU was invited, and to this point we have not been invited.
I do think it's wise that you don't let everything out. You know, I think it's important that you guys make your decisions, not dependent on what, I know you wouldn't, but what the overwhelming popularity of what should be happening from the general fan base would make some, you know, it might have some bearing on your decision.
Well, we feel that we know what our fans want. There's no question about that. I mean, I think everybody, including us, wants the same. BYU athletics is very important to our university, and our administration knows that. So we're going to do what's best. We're not going to take some strange step away from what we've been doing for decades, is trying to be the very best we can at what we do, and we're not going to go away from that.
How complicated is BYU relative to maybe other schools with which other leagues might have to do business when looking at conference structure?
Well, I don't think it's very complicated. Certainly, Greg, BYU is a little bit different. Certainly, we have something where we won't play on Sundays. I think everyone in the country knows that. So that doesn't complicate things. It just, if people will work with us in that area, then we can make something happen. But I think there's a lot of people out there that are setting up a lot of misinformation, which are dealing with things that simply are not true.
Yeah.
Has the Big East been in contact with BYU at all? Are you able to speak to that at all?
Well, no, we've had conversations throughout the country with various entities and conferences and people. But at this point in time, those are conversations that should remain private also. And we're not going to be able to, we're not going to comment on who we talk with and when we contact, contact. But we will continue as at appropriate times when we feel that it's necessary and our other people that we're talking with mm-hmm. are well aware of what we'll be doing.
You mentioned Sunday play, which everyone's well aware would be a stipulation for BYU. Where does BYU TV fit into the mix in terms of what you are doing now and would like to continue to do in whichever shape this thing takes?
Well, I think that's one of the areas, and I don't want to get into details because this is one of many areas that we do talk about. But I think it's worth noting that there's so much misinformation out there about BYU TV that has not come from reliable sources. And so I think it's interesting that people think that that's a tough thing when today this game's being played on TV because of a collaboration with BYU TV, the Pac-12, and Fox College Sports. So this is a situation with where most people say you can't deal with the TV networks or the cable companies. We did. And if we could do that in 1 week's time, I don't think it's too complicated.
Interesting comments from Tom Holmo today. I think the takeaway points is that Sunday play, he says everybody knows BYU doesn't play on Sunday. So really, that doesn't come into the discussions. And in terms of talking with BYU TV, would that be an obstacle? He says, hey, look what happened today with Oregon State and this game. I mean, it took a collaboration between BYU, the Pac-12, and Fox College Sports to make this happen. So, I mean, things, if that can happen in a week, look, you know, what can happen? And then obviously, the key point in terms of the Big 12, this is a direct quote from him. He says, there have been discussions, but TCU was invited. And to this point, BYU has not been invited. Interesting, he threw in to this point, but don't read anything into that one way or the other too much. But certainly, Tom Holmo feeling the need to outline where BYU stands with this, and perhaps a little bit of pressure. I know a lot of BYU fans frustrated, just not a lot of news coming out of Provo to this point, and a ton of speculation out there.
Yeah, he felt like it was a good time to go forward today and make those comments, considering that there has been so much movement, and that BYU hasn't necessarily been involved to the level that everyone would want to or people are expecting. I thought it was an interesting timing thing because he was meeting with the media minutes before kickoff.
And in Corvallis, not in Provo.
And in Corvallis. And so I thought, wow, this can't wait till Monday. But, you know, at the same time, it was almost like a, hey, here's where we are. Now back off a little bit because, you know, we're working with things, but we're not going to just tell you everything because these are private negotiations and this is how you do it. It's not because we want to keep it from you. It's because these are private negotiations.
Total change of course, though, for Holmo to acknowledge that there had been discussions with the Big 12. BYU has been very secretive to this point. And you have to certainly question what prompted the AD to speak up today especially. But certainly, I think very enlightening and perhaps even comforting to a lot of BYU fans out there. Next on Cougar Post Game Live, we'll wrap up. That's on KSL News Radio and the BYU Radio Sports Network.
In May of 2000, Dave Okarnikar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curbs, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
Radio home of the BYU Cougars. KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in to Cougar Post Game Live. I'm Andrew Adams. BYU defeating Oregon State 38-28 in Corvallis and bringing Alex Carey. Alex, I think that unequivocally, this was a big win for BYU. Yeah, Oregon State wasn't that great, but a lot of questions about BYU's offense going forward. And hey, you know, Riley Nelson deserves some credit. Some questions about, well, really, can he quarterback this team? Can he be consistent? Can he not turn the ball over? He did have the one turnover, the one interception for that was returned for a touchdown, but that's not a bad outing. And you know, 499 total yards, 217 passing, 282 rushing, a very solid outing at a Pac-12 venue.
Yeah, and the other thing you saw too was they have 500 yards of offense when kind of a weird area between the middle of the second quarter and the, you know, there was that touchdown at the beginning of the third quarter, but even then there was some stagnant, there wasn't much movement there, and then you thought, oh, what's going on here? You just couldn't see the consistency. Greg even mentioned, you know, that where are the full four quarters going to come from? You know, when you see that fumble that leads to a touchdown, the pick six, and then to get 500 yards there, it was, what was good is they exploded in the fourth quarter. And that's where you didn't necessarily see it happening. It was when you see them start moving down the field again, you go, hey, 17-point lead with a minute left in the game is not a bad place to be for BYU.
I also think something that should get more play in this is that BYU has struggled ridiculously to start the second half, getting any kind of momentum coming out of halftime and putting a drive together. In this case, they go down and score straight away. Cody Hoffman culminating a 12-yard pass from Riley Nelson, and just nice to see him start things off in the second
Very
half.
Very quickly, Riley Nelson, 87 yards rushing. Michael Elisa, 84. DeLuigi,
Michael Elisa is a stud.
Yeah, and DeLuigi, that 40-yard run that he had, 74 yards on the day. 282 yards on the ground is a good day to have, and it was a good day offensively.
And Elisa got robbed, remember, that 30-yard touchdown run. He looked fantastic. All right, that is your Cougar Post Game Live. I'm Andrew Adams. For Alex Carey, your final score from Research Stadium in Corvallis, BYU 38, Oregon State 28. The Cougar Locker Room Show is coming up next on KSL News Radio and the BYU Radio Sports Network.
This has been Cougar Post Game Live on your radio home of the BYU Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can motivate your audience.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can teach your children.
I can boost your bottom line.
I can add value to your workplace.
I could be a loyal and productive employee.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
If you don't recognize my talents and ability.
If you don't hire me.
If you don't have an open mind and a workplace that's open to everyone.
If you don't realize that America works best when everybody works.
What can you do?
What can you do?
What can you do?
You can remember that it works.
It's what people can do.
It's what people can do that matters.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Mark Lyons and Scott Johnson on your radio home of the BYU Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. The Cougar Locker Room Show. Sponsored by your Bryant Heating and Cooling Dealer, the National Kidney Foundation, and Zero Res.
All right, our Scott Johnson's already gotten some post-game comments from OSU coach Mike Riley. We'll get to those coming up in our locker room coverage, and momentarily he'll be in the BYU locker room area with players to speak live with us as well. So we'll check in with Scott in just a second to find out exactly where he is and with whom he is. Let's, first of all, Mark, get a couple of statistical reflections. You got a chance to look through the post-game book right now and get a feel for a few things. What jumps out at you from today's game?
Well, it was the rushing averages from the BYU team that Riley Nelson ran for 7.2 yards a carry, and J.J. DeLuigi was 9.2 yards a carry, and Josh Quezada was 8.7 yards per carry. You know, Michael Elisa, if he would have gotten that touchdown run, he probably would have been right up there. But he's at 4.2, which is certainly decent. And so those guys, when they were taking off and going, they were hurting people. And so it was good that they were able to get such a positive run per carry result.
If you liked punting or punt returns, today was not your game.
No, one punt from BYU, one punt from Oregon State. I also like Riley Nelson. He completed only for 217 yards, which seems like not a lot, but he was 12.7 per reception. So for every ball that they caught, they were getting 12.7. And you like it when you're making more than a first down on every reception. And so I thought that was a pretty good positive also. Surprisingly, though, BYU only had 17 completions, and Cody Hoffman took up 9 of those. And so he did a nice job of doing it, but then you're not spreading it around to a whole lot of people.
All right, it was 9 for Hoffman, 3 for Falslev, and nobody else with more than singletons on the receiving end today. BYU 38 and Oregon State 28. Down to Scott Johnson in the Cougar locker room area. Scott, to catch us up with where you are and what we'll be doing here shortly. I know we heard from you heard from Mike Riley a short time ago as well. No, we're not hearing Scott Johnson right now, so Scott will have to check in with us. Here he is.
Hey, Greg. I did.
Well, Scott's not in a good place, apparently. There you are, Scott. We got you now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry, I did Coach Riley. He did have some things to say. I'm waiting on Riley Nelson right now so I can play Coach Riley's comments. Disappointed with his team's effort against the run game was a major comment. But here's Coach Riley.
All right.
Good BYU football team. They're 5-2 and a big, strong, tough guy.
Well, you know, we were a couple of things. I think short story about this game was, you know, we really wanted to run better than them. And obviously, we lost that battle. And that was probably, you know, if you're summarizing this game, that's the biggest difference in the world. They rushed for almost 300 yards, controlled not only the yardage, but they controlled time. And so that was a major factor. And then the other major factor, despite that, we had opportunities. We got the ball turned over to the offense. With opportunities, but then we didn't capitalize, especially right off the bat. And then we get down there and we turn it back over to them when I think we're five. You know, we squandered opportunities, and then as the game went on, they dominated the running game physically, and those two things were probably the summary of the game.
Well, you mentioned their running. Their quarterback is a special talent. He had 80.
Well, we're losing Scott Johnson out of the BYU locker room area right now. We'll try and get a better reception from Scott down there. Hope that improves in the next few minutes, as the BYU locker room is a great distance from our location here in the press box. It's behind the stadium, and the locker room area is actually down in the basement of the Coliseum behind us. And so we'll try and get a good reception from Scott and ideally get these post-game interviews live as we should have them. It may be that Scott ends up taping them and bringing them back to us, but we just hope that the reception improves as we continue here. As we head to break, I'll tell you Riley Nelson's quarterback pass efficiency rating today, 159.7. So just shy of 160 for Riley Nelson on a day in which he goes 17 for 27, 217, 3 touchdowns and a pick in this 38-28 win. So BYU wins it by 10. More of the Cougar Locker Room show next year on KSL News Radio and the BYU Radio Sports Network.
You may already know heart disease is the number one killer of women in the United States. But if you think you're too young to worry about it, think again. My name is Essence Harris, and I was a 30-year-old personal trainer when I started experiencing shortness of breath and chest pain during my workouts. Then one night, after carrying my son, Jaden, into the house, it took me 15 minutes to catch my breath. I knew I was in trouble. After several months and a lot of persistence, I found a doctor who didn't chalk up my symptoms to fatigue. An angiogram revealed a 90% blockage in 2 arteries, and 3 stents were placed in my arteries to save my life. Now I'm doing all I can to make sure all women take control of their heart health. Be sure to exercise and eat a diet rich with heart-healthy foods like leafy greens, oats, and soy. And remember, don't ignore your body when it tells you something's wrong. To learn more, visit womenheart.org.
A public service from Women Heart and the United Soybean Board.
Now get the Q&A. Back to the Cougar Locker Room Show on your radio home of the BYU Cougars. KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, the fun continues. We're trying to please the electronics gods and getting to a place where our reception will come through for you. We think we have a spot where Scott Johnson and his guests can be heard. And our first guest on the Cougar Locker Room Show is today's Macy's MVP quarterback, Riley Nelson. Riley, we hope you can hear us. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. This is great news. Awesome. Riley, congratulations on the win today, first up.
Thank you.
It was early in the game, very early in the game. You take a hit, a helmet pops off, their guy's yelling at you, you get back at him, and the tone seemed to be set really early as to what kind of game this was going to be. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I got to tighten my chin strap or something. And I think some of my teammates, there was a lot of helmets popping off.
Yeah. But
you love coming in. You know, that's why we play football, is for the physical aspect, or at least I do. It makes it so much more fun and so much more of a challenge. And so to, you know, have something, have a play go like that right from the get-go, really got you amped up for the whole game.
They did a nice job. Well, first of all, you did a terrific job in running primarily in the first half and being able to pick up those first downs and keep drives alive. But in the second half, it looked like they had kind of a spy or were able to come up and get in your way a little bit more often.
They did a little bit. In the first half, you know, there weren't as many. We kind of... You know, I don't know. I can't really comment on that. I'm trying to think about what opened up and what didn't. And in the second half, I think our, you know, our running back run game was so good in the second half that we didn't even need any quarterback runs. We called a draw or two there late towards the game. That was more just, you know, to secure the ball and run the clock down, I think, than anything else. So as long as we're staying positive in those, it's a, you know, it's a good job.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to say about Cody Hoffman? 9 catches, career high, 162 yards, career high, a touchdown catch, had 9 of your 17 passes that were caught today. Give us your, the quarterback's perspective on what number 2 was doing downfield for you.
He's a quarterback's dream because he, you don't have to make the perfect throw. You don't feel pressure to have to put it on the money. If you put it in the general area, he'll go up and get it. I mean, that his touchdown pass was evidenced by that. The guy played the route perfectly, and I saw that, and so I thought, all right, man, you got one-on-one, go make a play. So I kind of just threw it up. He was able to stick his foot in the ground, elevated, got his big arms, big hands up in the air, and came down with it, made it look easy. So he is a very special talent and a very good player, and I love to have him on our side.
Not too far from Crescent City, California, and I understand he had a lot of fans in the stands for him today.
Yeah, he did. He had a lot of family and a lot of people come up to visit him, so I'm glad it was a game where he could – it just worked out to where he got some balls and things like that. You know, Cody is – in a position where our offense, where he gets double covered a lot, he gets a lot of safeties over the top, and today he had some one-on-one coverage, and so to be able to take advantage of that, and then for him to perform the way he did, I think was really special in front of his family and friends.
Yeah. Nice throwing day for you on a 63% completion day, a quarterback rating of 160. What did you see on the one pick you did have today?
You know, if I could take that back, I probably would have went somewhere else. It was a two-minute drive trying to get something quick. That front side corner had been playing up, but then bailing out on a lot of his coverages. Well, unfortunately, he stayed up, and it was a quick route we had called, and I didn't make a very good throw. And, you know, I paid for it.
third down conversions was awesome today. And when you can use all three downs in order to get first downs and you start to get that confidence that that's how you're able to use every down and not worry about third down, it makes so much difference in the way you're going to run your football team.
No doubt. And I think it every